Luke chapter number 8 this morning. We're also going to look at a verse in John chapter number 10. If you like to find your spots in both places, you can. If you just like to listen, that's okay too. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a Bible right in front of you in between the hymn books. As we are going in Luke chapter number 8, we're going through a journey with Jesus. And in this story, we've been following Jesus step by step through the book of Luke, seeing him as he was born in Bethlehem and as he's been dealing with these Pharisees, these scribes. Also, I have a little bit of a ringing back here from something. He's dealing with the scribes. And the amazing thing I see in this story with Jesus is that how the profound impact he has and the ability he has to help people from all different walks of life. All different type of issues, all different types of problems, all different types of needs, and Jesus is able to meet those. And today we're going to look at a story, and we're talking about this man who was possessed by many demons. And when we look at this, and we see how Jesus is able to help him. And we looked last week, the disciples were struggling with their faith and how the storm calls them to wake Jesus up, asking him, you know, carest thou not that we perish? And it comes to this idea when you look at it, you know, everyone needs Jesus Christ. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the heartache is, he is the answer. He is really what people need. And so today when we look in this story, and I want you to remember this, because as we go through the book of Luke, and as we journey along with Jesus, look at how he's helping every single person that allows him to help him. Our theme this year for our Friend Day and for our Bible conference, especially for our Friend Day, is called There is a Remedy. And it's there is a remedy, and it's Jesus Christ. And so when we look at these stories, we're going to refer back to that and help us understand that Jesus Christ is the only person who can bring the change that is necessary. The title of this morning's message is The Type of Change Only Jesus Can Bring. The Type of Change Only Jesus Can Bring. In John chapter number 10, verse number 10, there's a verse in the Bible that describes what the devil plans on doing with your life and what the Lord plans on doing with your life. It says here in John chapter 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus is putting out there pretty plain and simple, okay, if you follow the devil's plan for your life, his intentions for your life, even though he might try to make it look glamorous, even though he might try to make it look good, even though he might try to make it seem like it's more fun, he plans on stealing, killing, and destroying your life, making a wreck and a ruin of it. And Jesus says, hey, I've come to offer you life, and is referring to eternal life, but not just eternal life, but life here on this earth, a more abundant life, a different type of life. Jesus has a completely different plan for your life than what the devil has. The devil could care less about you. The devil could care less about your feelings, care less as he just wants to use you. We see know that Jesus in the story and in the Bible, it says that he loved the world. He died for mankind because he cares for them. And there's two completely different, distinct plans and differences here. Now you can take your Bible to Luke chapter number 8. We'll refer back to that. But so you understand here what the devil wants to do with your life. You're going to see in Luke chapter number 8, you're going to see a man that's possessed with demons. Not just demons, he answers Jesus by saying legion. Now, a Roman legion guard, from the different studies I've seen, there are up to 2,000 different guards in a legion in a Roman army. Anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000. So we know that in this story, that this is a story when Jesus casts the demons out, puts them in the pigs, and that there's pigs that are grazing, and that the pigs run down the hill and they die. There's over 2,000 pigs there. So we know there's a lot of demons in this man. And I want you to see, first of all, the condition of the man. I want you to see a man that's completely controlled by the devil and by his demons and what his life looks like on paper. Because I tell you, even though the devil is going to tell you lies, because he's the author of lies, he's the master of lies, he's the father of lies, he's going to say, this, I got great plans for you, but he's a liar. Look what they do with this man in Luke chapter number 8. Let's look here in verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Now, remember last week we saw that they were traveling. The storm came. The disciples woke Jesus up, talking about that they were going all to die. And Jesus had to ask that question, where is your faith? So they're arriving here. Jesus told them, let's go forth to the other side. So they arrive in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wore no clothes. Neither abode in any house, but in the tomb. So we see the description that's first given. He is a man that is, he lives in the tombs, lives in a graveyard in a sense. He's not wearing any clothes, which means there's no dignity there. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." So these demons, they recognize who Jesus is. They know who he is. And they fall on the ground and they're pleading with him not to torment them. You know, what do you mean by tormenting? Well, we know that the hell was created for the devils and the angels. And that these demons are some of the fallen angels that fell with Lucifer at that time. And they have some that are bound in hell, according to what the Bible says. And there's some that reign free here in a spiritual world, in a sense. And some of these demons have come and taken up residence in this man. And they're saying to Jesus, "No, don't cast us down to torment us. Don't send us to the pit. Don't send us to the lake of fire before the time." Look what it says in verse 29. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes, now listen to what it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." So the people try to help this man, at least try to contain this man, and they put chains around him and fetters around him. And because of the strength of the demons, they could break those chains and those fetters. And it says here that the devil drives him out into the wilderness. It's amazing that Jesus will lead us and guide us. We see here the devil drives this man out into the wilderness alone and by himself. Verse number 30, "And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they is referring to the demons. They besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep." Another word for their eternal punishment. "And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place in the lake and were choked." Now, I want you to take your Bibles now and go over to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter 5, we have a couple more details about this man. And I'd like you to see the condition of this man. The first point is the condition of this man. Mark chapter number 5. We'll pick up in verse number 1 here. "And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day," this is the verse I want you to see here, "and always," I want you to picture this man, "and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God, the Most High? I adjure thee by the God that thou torment me not." So let's go back to Luke chapter number 8. So I wanted to give you a description there. So if you go back to Luke chapter number 8, I want you to think about the condition of this man. To me, you know, he's naked, which means he doesn't have any dignity. He's unable to be helped by mankind. They try to bind him up. They try to put chains on him, fetters on him. Didn't matter. Then I see the story. When I read in Mark chapter number 8, he's there in the mountains, day and night, and in the tombs. And what is he doing? He says he's cutting himself. Why is he cutting himself? I don't know. Some give the speculation he was trying to get the demons out of him. Some think it's the demons just causing him to inflict pain on himself. So he would cry and he would scream out and he would keep people that are away. Now, this same story is found in the book of Matthew. Matthew introduces us something that the other two gospels don't. He says that there's two men that are there. Now, the Mark and the Luke one focuses on this one man. So that's what we're going to focus at, is this, just this one individual. And when we see in this story, also we see that no man was able to pass by in the book of Matthew because of the fact that this man tormented the people to where no one wanted to come near the tombs. So look at the condition of the man. He was naked, which means he had no dignity. He was hurting himself. This man was miserable, and no man could tame him. You say, "Pastor, why do you make such a big deal out of the condition of this man?" It's because I want you to see what the devil wants to do with your life. I want to show you what the devil wants to do to mankind. The devil could care less about this man. He could have made this man more powerful and allowed him to rule a nation. He could have done many things with this man, but what does he have him doing? He has him living off by himself amongst the bones of dead people, crying out at night, cutting himself and harming himself. He's in a miserable state. He's in a miserable place. And I'm telling you, though, even though the devil tries to present something that saying it's better than Christ, he's a liar. And we must learn to fight against the devil. That when you see this man, it reminds me what the devil's plan for your life is. It's to steal. It's to kill. It's to destroy. The devil has no interest in helping you. He's only interested in himself. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. That's our fight. Our fight is with the devil. And the devil is real. A lot of people think of the devil as being someone that's in a red bodysuit with horns and a pitchfork, and we'll recognize him. We'll never let him hurt us. That's not the way the devil comes to you. No one's going to be attracted to that. What is the devil? He brings something to you, and he tries to attract you with the things of this world, saying they're not going to hurt you. He tries to buy you in by saying, hey, why don't you enjoy this and be a part of this, because you know you'll like it and you know you'll enjoy it. He is a liar, and I tell you, you shouldn't play around with the devil. It's something that we should fight against. We see the conditions of this man, and we think this is horrible. And if we would sit there and consider what this man went through day after day, night after night, having possibly thousands of demons inside of him, just speaking to him and speaking to him and speaking to him, trying to cause him to harm himself, trying to cause him to harm others. It's a mess. That's what the devil wants to do with your life. You see different characters in the Bible who gave themselves over to the devil at different times and was able to allow the devil. I think of Judas. Got to walk with Jesus for those 3.5 years. And then in the end, what do you see him? Hanging from a rope, killing himself. He thought the devil was going to give him something that he really, truly wanted. The money, the power, the fame. But where did he end up? Where does the devil take you? I want to encourage you today, you should not mess with the things of the devil. There's certain music, certain musicians that lift up the devil, sing about the devil, praise the devil. You should run as far away from that as you can. You should have no part. No, there's no reason for a Christian to listen to music that blasphemes God and lifts up the devil. It just shouldn't happen. It doesn't matter how good they sound or how talented they are. It's wickedness. There's TV shows. There's games. There's things out there that mess with the occult and mess with the demons and demon worship. That is nothing to get mixed up in. That's something the devil wants you to play with. The devil wants you. And now how does this man have these demons in? I have no idea. I don't know how this happened and how this transpired. The Bible doesn't tell us that. There's no need to speculate. But I have seen what the devil has done to so many in this world and time and today, where there are people who will worship Satan. There are people who will drink blood. There's people who will give their hearts and lives and their families over to the worship of a demon. And it's very, very scary. People laugh it off. They don't think it's a big deal. I see this picture of this man and what happened to this man, and it scares me. What the devil can do with a person's life. Doesn't scare me what he can do with my life, because I know that I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That I don't think a person can be a Christian, have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, and be a demon possessed. But I want you to understand that the condition of this man is a horrible condition, and he would have changed in a second if he could. And the devil will always take you farther than you want to go. He'll always make you pay more than you want to pay. He'll always bring a wreck and ruin in your life. Second thing I want you to see is not only the condition of the man, I want you to see the confidence we can have in the Messiah. The confidence we can have in the Messiah. The confidence we can have in Jesus. And when I think about this story, and I keep on reading here, and we'll pick up here where in the story where Jesus is there. It says in verse number 32, and there was a herd of feet, swine, there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter in them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and enter into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place and into the lake and were choked. When they that were fed them saw that was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. So Jesus is there. The man comes and meets Jesus. The demons beg him, hey, cast us into the swine. And that's what happens. I want you to see the confidence we have in Jesus Christ. The first thing I think about in this story is we can have confidence because of his compassion. We can have confidence because of his compassion. You see, this man, Jesus himself, tells his disciples, hey, let's go over to the other side. Jesus knows that this man's here. Jesus knows that this man is demons possessed. Jesus knows that in a minute you're going to find out that the people from the town, they don't come out and they do not congratulate Jesus. They do not ask Jesus for help. They do not listen to the teaching of Jesus. What do? They tell him, Jesus, you got to go. You got to leave. We don't want you here. But I see the compassion of Jesus Christ in this story because he comes all the way over from the Lake of Galilee, from the one side where his ministry is flourishing, where he's helping tons of people. But there's one or two men that are over here on the other side that needs his help. And he knows that. And he heads over. He faces the storm. He allows his disciples to become fearful. He allows all this happen so he can go and help this one man. I want you to understand that Jesus loves each and every person. Jesus cares about every individual. And when we think about Jesus Christ being the remedy, when we think about Jesus Christ being the answer, he is the answer to every individual's need. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if it's a hard case like this man that had demons possessed, Jesus is in control. So not only do we see that we have confidence in his compassion, I want you to see about his confidence and his control. You think about it. We would think in our thinking, okay, there's Jesus here. There's maybe 2,000 demons over here. Surely the 2,000 demons would be more powerful than Jesus because there's only one. But the amazing thing about God is not only they come to him and they fall on their face before him, and the Bible even says they worshiped him, not because of the fact that they wanted to believe in him as a Messiah. They knew who he was, the Son of the Highest. They knew he was God. They knew they had no control over him. And that's just the amazing thing is. He has control over 2,000 demons, just like that. And they're asking, they're begging, please, don't send it away. Please, who do you think's going to win in the end? When they're sitting there begging with Jesus, we see that he has the power, he has control. He has the ability to help any individual you come across. Doesn't matter how bad they are, doesn't matter what state they've gotten into, doesn't matter what their problem is, he is in control and has the ability to cast out 2,000 demons. He can help put a marriage back together. He can help someone who's been maybe dealing with alcohol, dealing with drugs, someone who deals with pride, someone who deals with their self-righteousness, someone who's been maybe listening to the wrong music or watching the wrong, whatever it is, he has the ability, and we can have confidence in the fact that any person we meet, our Savior can help any person. He's the answer. He's the remedy. We can have that confidence in him because he's compassionate first. He loves. It's not like he didn't have other opportunities. Later on, you're going to see that, you know, he leaves the Gadarenes because of the fact that people don't want him there. He heads over to the other side. You know what? There's a crowd there. They're there and they're waiting. They're like, Jesus, please come back. We need your help. Jesus, they had faith he could make a difference, but that's the difference. As one group didn't understand, they didn't have faith. They didn't want to put their faith in him. The other group, they believed. Christian, I want you to understand, this is the type of change that Jesus can bring into your life. This is the type of change that Jesus can bring into the life of your families. This is the type of change that Jesus can bring into the life of any individual because of the fact that he is the one that's all-powerful. So we sometimes wonder when we see a hard case, we see maybe somebody from a different religion, maybe someone who is abusive, maybe someone who is really, really old, or really, really into demonic stuff, or really, really a bad sinner in our minds. We ask ourselves this question. Can Jesus really help that person? And this story tells us, yes, he can. There's not an individual in this world that Jesus cannot help. First thing I want you to see is the condition of the man. The second thing I want you to see is the confidence we can have in the Messiah. The third thing I want you to see is the change that only Jesus can make. That Jesus can make. Let's keep on going here in the story. And it says in verse number 35, Then they went out to see what was done. We'll actually go up to verse 34. When they that had fed them saw, so the people who were working, the people who was taking care of the swine, saw what was done. They saw that the demon-possessed man, the demons were cast into the swine. They saw the swine going down the steep place. They saw the swine being choked to death. They fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus. And look at the change that happened. And found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I want you to see the change that did happen. Look at the change of this man. No man could tame him, but who could? Jesus could. No man could take care of this man. No man could help this man, but Jesus could. And we see a man who used to cut himself, a man who used to weep and cry out in the nights, and a man who used to live in the tombs, and now he has clothes on, and he's in his right mind for the first time probably in years, and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is the change and difference that God can make in someone's life. Second thing I want you to see is the change that did not happen. It says at the end of verse number 35, the large group that came out to see, it's called a multitude in one of the other chapters, and in verse 37, and also in other chapters in the story. It says, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. So they once again repeat the story for the multitude. In verse number 37, this group doesn't get excited about this man being healed. This group doesn't say, hey, we don't have to be scared to walk this way anymore. This man has been healed. This man is sitting in his right feet, sitting in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. Now in verse 37, it says, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. See, the change that did not happen is talking about the multitude's life. You think about this. This multitude, I'm sure, had people who were sick. This multitude, I'm sure, probably had people that were also demon-possessed. This multitude had, they needed the teaching. They needed the preaching of Jesus. They had a great opportunity. Jesus had come to their town. He had come to their city. He was the one that could be the answer to their problems. And what do? They push him away. Hey, we don't understand. What you did for this man scares us, and we don't want anything to do with you. Please, just leave. And there will be people who do not understand why you love the Lord. There will be people who do not understand why you love God. There will be people who will not understand the change that happened in your life. When you start living for God and you lay down some certain things and you start doing some other things, you know what's going to happen? People are not going to understand. But you know the change that Jesus made in your life. And if they will allow by faith, allow God to make a change in their life, they can experience the same thing. But they were afraid. They weren't excited because of the fact that this man had been healed and this man got the help he needed. And this man, now they were more worried about their pigs. They're more worried about their swine. They're more worried about the money they lost. And once again, it was a great amount of money that was lost. But still, the change in this man happened. What an amazing thought. The last thing I want you to see is not only is it a change that happened and did not happen, change that should be shared. Look, it says that in verse 37 at the end, he says, he went up into the ship and returned back again. Verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. So we see what happens. He heals him. He recognizes Jesus as God. He's listened to what the demon said, and he wants to go with Jesus. Understandably so. Look what it says. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine house and show how great things God have done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I want you to focus here for a second. This city was telling them to go away. But Jesus was telling this man, hey, look, I want you to go back into the city. I want you to go back home because that's where your living starts. I want you, and I think the word is show in there. I want you to show unto them all the great things that I've done for you, all the wondrous things I've done for you. I want you to go home and I want you to tell them and show them what I have done for you, what God has done for you. You say, what's the point? Jesus wasn't allowed in the city, but this man could go. They said, Jesus, go away, but they welcomed this man. So what's your point is there are certain people that you're going to have much easier time reaching than I will. And there are certain people that I would have a easier time reaching than maybe you would. Once again, it's not about our reaching. I understand that because God does the work. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. But there are certain emphases in certain places in certain houses that you have an open door to that you can walk through and say, look what God has done for me. Show them what God has done for you. Tell them what God has done for you. And then there's other places where they would close the door on me. So we need to remember there is places that they said, Jesus, we don't want you. But this man, what does it say he does? I love how it talks about it. It says that he went and he returned home, but it says that he went his way in verse 39 and published. That published is the same thing as that word up there says declare. He declared. He published. What did he publish? The great things that God had done. He published throughout the whole city, not just some of the city, how great things Jesus had done unto him. It reminds me of that theme verse that we have up there. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now listen to this phrase. That ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's saying that you should go home and you should see those people that knew that you were demon-possessed, those people that you probably abused, those people that you maybe cursed out, those people that you did this with and did that with and did this with, and show forth the praises that God has changed you. Show forth to them that you're a changed person. Show forth to them that you're a changed individual. In the book of Mark, it talks about not just showing, it also talks about telling the city to go out and not only show them the difference that God has made, but tell them what God has done for you. And here's the point is, there's a change that should be shared with others. He did not save you. He did not help you. So that way you get sit silently. He wants you to go and he wants you to show forth his praises. How you were one day in darkness and he has called you into his marvelous life. He has a plan for you. Remember what Jesus' plan was. It was to give you life and life more abundant. What was the devil's plan? We see what this man's condition was like. It was horrible. It was miserable. It was something that will end in catastrophe. He could care less about you. But Jesus says, hey, I called you out of that darkness. I put you into that marvelous light. Now go and show forth the praises of him that has called you. Show them that you're a believer. Show them that you're a Christian. Tell them. So Christian, when we come to this idea and we look at all the different stories about how Jesus was the answer. He was the answer for Mary Magdalene with the 7 demons, yes. But he was the answer also for the Pharisee that would turn to him who was self-righteous. He was the answer for the disciples who already knew who he was, but needed to learn more about their faith. Next week, we're going to look at a man named Jairus and how he has a child that needs to be healed. And Jesus is going to help him because Jesus is the remedy for every single person's answer. He's for every single person's problem. Let's think about this for a second. This man was in horrible shape. But Jesus helped him. This morning, there is a hope here. The devil hopes to blind you. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that he blinds people from the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants you to publish the gospel. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you ever repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ in your heart to save you? Knowing Christ is more than just saying a prayer. It's more than doing good works. It's more than just having an understanding. It's having a belief and faith in what Jesus Christ did. In Romans chapter number 10, it says, if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart, thou shalt be saved. Confess in our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus died and rose again. That we believe that he paid our sin debt for us, that he paid our sin penalty. And it's not about, hey, I can do this and this and this good, and that way I can, no. It's about what he's done and what Jesus, this is the change that Jesus can bring in your life. It's not about what you can do or what the devil can't do. It's about what he can do through you. This is the only type of change that can happen when Jesus comes in. Can't happen when someone else, remember, they try to help him. They try to put chains around him. They try to put fetters on him. They try to bind him up so that way there wouldn't be any, they could help him then. If we chained him up, maybe he wouldn't hurt himself anymore. If he chained him up, he wouldn't cut himself anymore. Maybe we could bring him back home. Maybe he had a wife. Maybe he had kids. No, he didn't need any of those answers. He needed Jesus Christ. This morning, are you a Christian? Have you allowed Jesus to make the change that only Jesus can make? Good works will not make the change. Believing in some type of other false doctrine will not make the change. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The devil wants to blind you from the truth that Jesus Christ came to this world and died for you because you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And he wants to blind you from the fact that, hey, you need to put your faith and trust in him. He wants you to think, hey, if you do enough good works, hey, he wants you to think, hey, if I'm a little bit better than the next guy, he wants you to think that, hey, I can make a deathbed. He wants to blind you from the truth. And the truth is, Jesus wants to give you life and life more abundant. But too many of us are blinded by the lies of the devil. This morning, have you ever put your faith and trust in him? Have you ever asked him to save you? This is the type of change that only Jesus can make. He is a remedy for all. Doesn't matter that guy at work that's a real jerk. Jesus is the remedy for that person who's sick. And Jesus doesn't always heal that way. But that's what they need for that loneliness you have, for that selfishness that you have. He is the answer. Do you believe in him? They turned Jesus away. They said, go away. There was a group over here that says, hey, we'll take Jesus. What was the difference? One person didn't believe. They didn't understand. They didn't want to receive. They were blinded by the truth. They were blinded by the love that Christ had for them. The other group had seen God work and said, we'll take as much of him as we can get because they had faith in him. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes.